Good morning, dear church. I am very happy to have the opportunity to share with you this day. But before we begin our message, I have some news to communicate to you. As you may notice, Marco is not with us today. This is, as many of you already know, because he and his family have COVID-19. They are not seriously ill. There's nothing to be alarmed of. However, we have to take the sickness with the seriousness it requires. Marco is alright. Karina has some days good, some days not so good, but she's going better. And Katrina, she's struggling a little bit more. She has had low oxygenation levels, so we ask you to pray for her and for all of Marco's family. God willing, we will have them soon with us. We are very well taken care of with the due treatments and medications. The only thing that they need is that we all as a church pray for them and for all the persons that are going through this illness. Having said this, I would like to get into our theme. So if it is okay with you, let us begin with the message we have prepared for you today. As we have just said, the world is completely invaded by a virus that affects us all. But COVID-19 is not only a virus that has turned the world upside down. There is another virus, highly contagious, that at one time or another has affected you or is affecting you, or it will affect you. This is the virus of doubt. At some point in your life, maybe you have made yourself these questions. Can miracles be possible? Why, in spite of having received Christ in my heart and having a relationship with Him, I continue to feel a bunch of bad things within me? What if all this about God, Jesus, and everything around this context is not true? We all have doubts. Doubt is like a virus that exists since the beginning of the church. And the persons apparently delight themselves in trying to find arguments in their naturalism or other beliefs to attack upfront Christianity. And not only atheists or naturalists are the ones that attack Christianity, but many times it is the doubt that spreads like a virus within the church. I want to clear up that it is not my intention to make feel bad anybody that has had doubts. I have had them. And that is why, despite the fact that I knew Jesus since I was very little, for many years I kept myself apart from his teachings. Years that, by the way, were very dangerous for me, as I was literally exposing myself to, risking myself to getting lost for a long time in my life. But it is not only doubts that have the capacity to keep you apart from the way of God. It is also true that when you start getting deeper into the Word of God, sometimes you have serious encounters with certain doubts. And so, as many people get to feel guilty or ashamed for having doubts, even though they have received Christ, this is why the matter is not necessarily if you have doubts or not. The matter is, what do we do in regards to it? Because the doubt is something that exists within our own nature. Is it okay if, before we go on, we place ourselves in the hands of God? Let us pray. Dear God, it is a privilege to be able to share your word. It is a privilege to be able to receive your word. In this morning, I ask you that you open our hearts and that it may be you who is in charge of this, of everything that is happening during this message. Please, Father, let us understand the concepts that we will try to explain during this message so that you at the end may close with your love, with your trust, and you may clear the doubts. We love you so much with all our heart. We ask you for all the persons that are struggling right now with the virus, COVID-19, and also against the virus of doubt, in the beautiful name of your Son, Jesus. I mean, this is a very important theme, but it appears it is very much misunderstood. And that is why today we will start by clearing up some misunderstandings about doubts. We will start by clearing up try to clear up some certain wrong ideas about doubts. Okay, our first one is many think that having doubts is the opposite as having faith. But this is a wrong idea, but very common one. In fact, the opposite to faith is disbelief. Disbelief is the decision that a person makes not to believe in something he doesn't see. Unlike faith, faith, says the Bible in Hebrews 11:1, is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. We have just found a great difference. Disbelief is a conscious decision to refuse to believe in something you don't see, whereas faith is the certainty that although we don't see something, it is there. Disbelief is not a doubt. To doubt is to feel ambivalent in respect to something. It is when you are divided between two things. Because look, you may have a very strong faith and even so have theological doubts. That is why to have faith does not mean that all themes of life and all themes of the Bible have been cleared up to you. In fact, think of this. To have those dialogues with God, to fight with Him about certain things, to have debates with Him about themes of life, themes of the Bible, about miracles, and about a bunch of very interesting things, is not necessarily lack of faith. That can be faith. We can find an example in the Psalms. Listen to the contrast between this psalm and the ones we will read later. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." But in other psalms, we find some questions. We find a David that has just said that God is his rock, his shield, his salvation. But he may also say this: "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Do you notice this great contrast? Psalm 13:1. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Look, what we're seeing in this moment is that David was being attacked by doubts. Nevertheless, he knew certain things. Sometimes he felt others. But what we can see in these psalms is that David had an unwavering faith. Despite his questions, despite his doubts, his faith was very, very solid. We know that many people in the church and from many other places that are listening to us are passing in this moment through very complicated plights. And it is in these times like these that, just like David, you are being attacked with doubts or questions like, why do I have to leave this pandemic? One of the strongest things in humanity. And it's not only passing in front of me, I am living it. I am living it. I am suffering it. I am feeling it. Why me? Why because of this? That has nothing to do with me. It started in China last year, and today I lost my job and I am struggling to feed my family. I have no income. I am suffering financially. Why am I sick, or my family is sick? I am a good person. I have a good relationship with God, but even so, I am sick. Why me? Why have I lost a dear one? So just like David, the questions are present in our lives, but we should strengthen our faith so that, just like David's, it is unwavering. Another wrong idea about doubts is that many think that God is angry when we have doubts, and many people are afraid to express their doubts because we think that God will get angry with us. But this is not true. We find a good example with an amazing character in the Bible, John the Baptist. If there is anybody in the Bible that was completely sure of who Jesus was, it is precisely John the Baptist. Look what we will read in John 1:29-30. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said," look at this phrase, "look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me that has surpassed me because he was before me. However, John has made a very important declaration. Here comes the power of God, the one that takes the sin of the world. However, John is arrested. And there, in jail, he has a doubt. And we find it in Matthew 11:3. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Are you sure you're not the one? You are the one that will come to save the world? And look at the response of Jesus. Matthew 11:4-5. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." In other words, John says, let us help John with his doubts. It is wonderful what is happening in this moment, because it's not like God will get mad at me. No. Jesus says, let us help John with his doubts. And I believe that this happens because we believe that God will get mad at us because of our doubts. Why? Because we are humans, we are common, and we have certain prejudices. Look at this. We don't like that people doubt of us. I don't like that people doubt of me. It bothers me that people doubt about my word, my honor, my credibility. And therefore, we have that sensation that God will get angry at us because of our doubts. And then maybe he has a different opinion about us, but it's not so. And to have it clear, it is good enough to make us this next question. How did the doubts of John affect his relationship with Jesus? In Matthew 11:11, he says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen another greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Wow. This is awesome. Look, God does not get angry. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to have a dialogue with you, even if it is about your doubts. It is not that we are saying that so that Jesus sees you as John, you must have a great deal of doubts. No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is that we should notice the importance of our honesty in our prayer with God. We have to be honest in our relationship with God, even if we have doubts, if we are mad, if we're sad, if we're happy, whatever. We must be honest in our relationship with God. All right? Okay. Our next wrong idea about doubts. Many think that to have doubts will always have a negative effect, but it's not so. Doubts may produce positive effects if we try to solve them. This pandemic has showed us how people have been taken strongly from the hand of God. We have some programs designed to have during the week for young ones, for children, for adults. I don't know if you have noticed that when we have the day of the interactive verse, Thursdays at 8 p.m., one person of the church talks about a verse that with which he identifies and starts explaining what has that word happened with him. And then you start seeing all these comments, "Oh, I have held myself strongly from the hand of God, and we are united." And you start seeing so many comments about the persons in such a very intimate relationship with God, in spite of the terrible situation. But not for us, is this for all of them is the same experience. For some persons, it has been extremely difficult. For everybody, it's difficult. But some are held by the hand of God. But for others, it is more difficult to understand, to accept what is happening, to adapt ourselves to this new normality. because the reality is that this virus, COVID-19, has affected us in the theme of doubts. We start having a lot of questions about probabilities, about future scenarios. But I will tell you something. If you look for the answer to your doubts with true honesty, your faith will end up being stronger than ever. This happens. We see it very closely with the young ones. The ones that have been educated within Christianity since little ones, since young ones, they are strong. However, they will be confronted strongly by their professors, their parents, their friends. But if they just keep the doubt that they got, if they go to the investigation, they go to faith, they have astonishing results. How do you think these young ones end up after these doubts, very aggressive doubts, and that make them stumble down, almost falling down? No, they're going to make very deep considerations. How do you think they will end up? Weakened or strengthened? They end up strongly strengthened. There is this guy, Gary Parker, that wrote the book, The Gift of Doubt. And he wrote some very interesting things. Gary Parker, he wrote the book, The Gift of Doubt. And he wrote, if the faith never finds doubts, if the truth never quarrels with mistakes, if the good doesn't fight against evil, how can faith have a power? Faith always strengthens by passing through trials and through doubts. Somebody that doubted and that was very close to Jesus was Thomas. After Jesus' resurrection, he was not convinced of that success, of that happening. He couldn't believe. He said, while I don't see the marks of the nails in Jesus' hands, I won't believe. I cannot believe until I see. And a week later, see what happened. The word says that the disciples were in a house with the doors closed, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared there without opening a door. And he comes to this room where the disciples were, and guess who was there? Thomas. And imagine this scene. Jesus with the holes in his hands but because of the nails, and suddenly his disciples see him there. I don't know what Thomas felt, but I imagine Jesus, and Jesus tells him, here, Thomas, put your hand through the holes in my hands, and ends up saying, Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but be a man of faith. How do you think Thomas ended up after that experience, doubting or with a tremendously strengthened faith? The doubt of Thomas was greatly attacked. It was not just the doubt, well, let's see what happens, I will keep the doubt, and maybe one day. No. The doubt was attacked. What does this mean? That we should be conscious that doubt is dangerous for our life, for our faith. But if we attack it, it will have a totally different result. So doubt must be attacked as a virus is attacked. And the first step is to understand how it affects us, the virus of doubt. How? A virus, in order to be able to reproduce, needs to find a host. And once he finds a host, he has to find a cell where he will try to adhere to it. To the coronavirus has a lot of tips that adheres to the cell. So it adheres to the cell and then it will try to reproduce within the cell and will try to copy itself to be able to reproduce itself. So after this biology quick class, in the same manner, the virus adult needs a host and needs to stay in places where it can reproduce. Where can the virus of doubt be reproduced? First of all, it's in our mind. It's very common that the doubt comes to us in an intellectual manner. Things that we read, that we listen, comments we listen, in TV. There's a bunch of information that appears to contradict what we think. And that's why we have intellectual doubts. Do you know when we have them? When these comments come and we don't know deep enough that what we believe in. We should know knowledge in general. It is very common that people believe, think that know God and think that they know how God works. In fact, they think. Many times we try to learn about the love of God and Jesus. So we try to get involved a lot of the love of God, the forgiveness, the mercy, the reconciliation of God. But sometimes we concentrate so much in these themes and we forget about other very important aspects about God. His justice, His holiness, His wrath. And that's when we may confuse ourselves. Because if we just concentrate in a pair of themes and forget about the others, we can question about why God allows some things to happen. And we question ourselves these things. Why does God do the things that I think He shouldn't do? Or vice versa. Why doesn't He do the things He should? The doubt attacks because your idea of God is not the truth about God. It's an idea, but that doesn't mean it's the truth. If we think that as soon as I put my faith in Jesus, my life will be perfect, I will never get sick, and it will just be love, and everything will be very happy, we are very much mistaken. To follow Jesus in a world that not walk with God in a world full of people that doesn't know Him is a very difficult task, but it's the best decision that you may make in your life. So be careful with what we allow to get into our minds, and we should have knowledge so we may have we are solid in our thoughts. So we see that the virus of doubt can also come through our emotions. There's people that has their faith founded in emotions, and that is very dangerous. Do you know why? Because maybe those people, when they gave their life to Jesus, they had a very exciting experience. And maybe it was in an experience with music, in a camping, and things like that. And I don't say that's wrong, but sometimes that happens. And what happens later? That we find ourselves with a problem. Because those experiences, emotional experiences, don't last forever. And not everybody feels them. But the persons that are so much holding that so much, when they don't feel those emotions, they just feel they start to fade away. They start thinking, I don't feel anything. And they start having doubts. They want to recreate the same experience. They don't feel it. And that those ideas start coming to their minds And they just say, I don't feel the same thing. I don't feel God. I don't feel His presence. I don't feel what I felt at the beginning. I will tell you something. Faith is not about feelings. Faith is about making a decision, a conscious decision to follow Christ. It's not feelings. You have to decide it, to make the decision. Another emotional case is the kind of personality of the person. But let us see an example. Persons that are melancholic. These people have tendencies to see the glasses half empty, not half full. And therefore, they are susceptible to doubt. And when we are sensible, we tend to compare ourselves, and that opens at the door to doubt. So be conscious that if you struggle with this matter because of your personality, what do you have to do? Well, if I am a person that, according to my personality, I have more doubts, you have to give an extra effort. Just give an extra effort. Another case. The doubt comes also because of emotional scars. Certain sad stories during our youth, childhood, abandonment of our parents, or their separation with a divorce, or very sad situations. It is very common that those experiences produce doubts about God. In a conscious, but many more times unconsciously, you are expecting that God will deceive you just as the other persons deceive you. It calls my attention how we can find a common pattern in the most common atheists of history. Freud, Russell, Nietzsche. In all those cases, their father died or abandoned them when they were just children. And they are some of the most famous atheists. And what happens with this? When our earthly father is absent or has deceived us, it is not difficult to have a mirror effect towards our heavenly father. And therefore, we reject God. And this doesn't mean that that experience will always take us to atheism. But what it does happen is that those experiences create certain barriers between those people and God. But remember that for God, there's nothing impossible. He tells us in Revelation 3:20, I am at the door and I call. If anybody listens my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will dine with him and he with me. So it doesn't matter how your infancy, your life was, if you feel it is difficult to have a relationship with God because you cannot overcome the abandonment of your father when you were young, God is at the door and He's calling you. He's telling you, here I am, I'm ready to fill you up with my love. Another area in which these barriers can come in is through our decisions. Think of this. If you accept Christ, but you decide to continue in a disobedience pattern, an area in your life in which you don't allow the entry of God. This decision introduces doubt and uncertainty in your faith. God will get into certain areas, but not in others. So the doubt starts to grow, to be created and grow. And when we decide to disobey God, we sin. And that creates a separation between us and God. And it is so how, without noticing it, that we produce this, we then ask ourselves, where is God? God is in the same place. The ones that got away from Him were us. So be conscious that sin creates a separation between you and God, and the one that is setting apart from God is you. God is there and is expecting you to come to Him to embrace you. And if you have not taken the personal decision to accept Christ, it's probably that you're debating between the doubt of an inherited faith or copied. In that way, you will not be able to experiment a personal relationship with God, with Jesus. And that is how doubts start that He exists in reality. If you have not taken that decision, the decision to accept Christ in your heart, and you have come with this belief of God through your parents or other persons, I encourage you to make this decision as soon as possible. The personal decision to accept Christ in your heart is the most important decision that you may ever take in your life. Honestly, I think we all understood that doubt may infect our life. So now the question is, how can we restore then our spiritual health? We know we are infected with this virus and we need to restore our spiritual health. To restore it, it's not easy or fast. It is a process, and it is a process based on biblical patterns and biblical concepts. To start with, you have to find the root of doubt. Before you start fighting with it, we have to identify where did it come from, its origin. Where did it come from? And I believe that the majority of us already identified with these concepts, but maybe you are not totally identified with any and you still have doubts. And that's why it is important that you should be very sincere with yourself and you make yourself an auto examination, but not a superficial one. Make one where you are made difficult questions, those questions that cause you conflict, stress. Make them. Many use the intellectual excuse. Well, it's hard for me to believe that Jonas was within big fish or the Exodus. How could God through a column of fire and then open the sea and give them breakfast in the mornings with manna? All those things about miracles, it is hard for me to believe. Maybe that is a problem in your intellectual side. But others may think that it is difficult to believe that Jesus was truly the Son of God. I have heard this more than once. Or that they don't believe in the trustability of the Bible. But in reality, these are nothing but smoke screen. And we keep them just to keep God far from our life, because farther than our intellectual doubts, there could be a deeper reason. And you know which one? Pride. And this is because we don't want to recognize our mistakes. And that's why we use that smoke screen to evade God. So we don't, we're not willing to change. We want to go on in the same way. And that's why we keep them there. And we don't allow God to come to our life, to embrace us, and to make all the restorations for spiritual health that we require. Every time you have an encounter with Jesus, He loves you so much. He accepts you the way you are. But He loves you so much that He won't leave you the same way. Another thing that we can do to restore spiritual health is to ask God for help and to ask for help from other persons. So remember, be honest with God. Another good example we find in Mark 9:23-24. Listen to the honesty of this father when his child had convulsions since a kid. And he will ask Jesus, "Help my son if you can." And Jesus replies, "What do you mean if I can? For the one that believes, everything is possible." Then the father says, "Yes, I believe." He said immediately, but ends up saying, "Help me in my short faith. Help me in my faith. I do believe, but I need your help because I don't have enough faith." So then we should come to God and ask him to help us when we need more faith, to ask for his help to find the answers that we need, and to accept that there will be doubts that for now that I won't be able to solve. And if we cannot solve them now, well, ask him for his faith, his help for our faith. And help me also to accept those things I won't know. And also we should come to other persons also that are more mature than us, spiritually speaking, that have more knowledge of the Bible. I believe that we don't do things sometimes because we are embarrassed. It is not shameful to ask for help, but sometimes we think, I don't want them to realize that I don't know this, that is so simple. Well, we should be ashamed if we don't ask when we have doubts. When there is somebody that can answer our questions, they're not silly questions. Silly is the one that doesn't ask. It is not shameful to ask for help from others. And a commercial also is that if somebody feels that is taken care of, he likes to transmit this knowledge. So don't feel bad to ask others. To restore our spiritual health, we also need to implement a plan of treatment. You need a plan of action. Some days ago, I had to buy medicine of Marco and Cari. And when I saw the prescription, it was full of medications. And I thought, there's so many. Well, precisely because there's a plan of attack against the virus. Even vitamins were there. The doctor that is helping them has a plan to weaken the virus until it doesn't harm them anymore. So doctors make an attack plan against the virus. So imagine what we need to do also. Well, to have an attack plan. If it comes to you through the intellectual plan, our part, well, make a list of your questions. Write your questions and try to answer those questions. There is so much information in the internet and so many books. You may get books full of knowledge that will help you dissipate all those doubts. What will happen later? You will end up strengthened. Make those questions with trying to be exact. I know I have to ask something, but I don't know how to make the question. Well, try to make the good question and try to analyze exactly what is your doubt. So be clear in the question that you are making and launch yourself in the search for the answer. If the doubt came in through your emotions, the doubt has the capacity to make us live an emotional life. If I have a pain since I'm a little one, well, I will have it all through my life. And this luggage will not allow me to enjoy the intensity that God wants for my life along with Him. So a plan to counterattack the emotional doubt is to look for equipment for a team. Find others to help you carry your burdens. They can give you the embraces, the support that you need. What a better place to find that support than the church? I know that right now, because of this situation, well, where can I go? Well, think of this. The church has not closed. Well, I tell you, the church has not closed. When people ask me, when will the church open? I tell them, well, the church has never closed. The church is working since the pandemic started, and it won't stop. The building closed, but the church is active. So look for a small group through Zoom or a mentor. Follow all the activities that are designed and programmed during the week. Join the church and you will find a lot of help, of aids that will help you with your doubts. If your doubt came in through your decisions, ask yourself, in which area of my life I am keeping God out? I am deciding to keep God in certain areas, not within me. If you allow God to cover only 90% of your life, there is a 10% where you don't allow God to come in. So where will the doubt get in? Through that 10%. So you need to make the decision to give God the 100% of your life. Also, we should have in our plan taking care of our spiritual health. For those that are part of the church, I think we have it all very clear. But in spite of having that clarity, we don't always do it. So what do we have to do? Come to God. How? Read your Bible, pray constantly, thank constantly, fast, read your Bible, pray, praise, make devotionals. Thank God constantly for everything He gives you. Take care of your spiritual health through the spiritual disciplines that God gave them to us to make them. Before, the pretext was lack of time, but now the majority has time. Now the majority has time, so what a better thing that to end up this pandemic with excellent habits in your spiritual disciplines. During this quarantine, if you take your Bible, the first thing, and I am reading my 5 chapters a day or 3 or whatever you read, and I am reading them carefully and slowly, what a better habit than having some time with my God, and I kneel down and I pray with Him privately. What a better habit that this quarantine I make devotionals with my children and my wife. We read the Bible all together. We try to understand everything in the Bible. That is to take care of your spiritual health. This is something very important, and that's why we talk about it all the time in the church, and we will continue to talk about it. And one more thing that we can do to restore spiritual health is to keep the rest of your doubts in standby. Just leave them there. When we stop the verdict of some of your questions for a while, you may have more tranquility and faith. Look at 1 Corinthians verse Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. It is now we see everything without perfection. What does it say this? I believe that where we have to get is to the next conclusion. We are finite beings and we have a finite mind. We have limits. There are many things we cannot understand. So it gives us just for so much, not more. So if we are finite beings in this earth, it is impossible that we understand the infinite God of the universe. It will happen that as you mature in your faith, you will find answers to questions that surely attacked you for many years. And as you mature, as you grow up, and you understand more things, and you understand better the Bible, there will be doubts that will disappear, will be solved. But there will be others that simply we won't understand in this world. Maybe when we get to heaven and we are with God, only with Him, tell me, I had this question. How did it happen? How did you do it? How did you sustain the universe, the law of gravity? Oh, so many passionate things. The constellations, those theories about the black holes. Oh, so many things that I would like to ask God. And maybe you will have your mad questions also. But on this earth, take it easy. When we get to heaven, I trust God will give us many answers. But while we are on earth, God will reveal to us what we need to know, not what we want. So we have to have a bit of acceptance, and be happy with it. I hope that the virus of doubt, instead of making us weaker, will strengthen us in our faith. I want to finish with the story of a man and how he faced his doubts. This man was about 30 years old with a very strong faith. He had a friend, Charles, that injected him. He shared the ministry with him. But Charles started having some strong doubts and about faith, and Charles didn't keep them. He told them to this man, and he injected the virus of doubt. And so it is how this man that had a very wide influence in Christianity started doubting about everything he believed. However, this man also had a friend, a girlfriend, that had a lot of knowledge and a great was very much sure in the veracity of the Bible. So she helped him to sustain his life. This man, in one of his biographies, said, I felt as if I was in a horse of torture, being pulled on one side to the faith by my friend and to the other side towards doubt. If I don't get to a point of total doubt, I got to be very much damaged because of the experience. He says one day he went to walk at night and he started praying. And this is his prayer. And I would like you to pay much attention, because we can very much identify ourselves with it. God, I need your help on this. I don't want to have a feeble faith. I want a strong and powerful faith. I want you to use me in a positive manner. He kneeled down and said, taking a Bible, based on all the evidence of the credibility of the Bible, I make the voluntary decision to accept the Bible as the Word of God, and I am going to live my life in the way it says there I should live it, and I will tell all the people about it. When I got up, I felt, he said, as how God had breathed fresh life within my faith. I felt a spiritual battle was quarreled within my soul and was being won, and was won. The name of this man is Billy Graham. So, if you are there, whatever you are, full of doubts, and you ask yourself, would it be possible that God can do something powerful and power and positive with my life? Remember this story. Remember Billy Graham and how his doubts strengthened his faith. And who knows? Only God knows what he can do with you. Our prayer is that he does great things with your life. But for this moment, we don't know what he will do with you. What we do know is that Jesus gave his life for you and for me. He gave his life in the cross for all the persons that decided to put their faith in him. And that's why in this moment, we will celebrate the Supper of the Lord. Father, thank you, Father, because you never doubted of us. In your infinite love, you sent your Son Jesus because we were worth it. In spite of our battles, you never doubted of us. Today, we want to thank you, celebrating the Supper of the Lord. And for that, we will eat the bread. Thank you, Father, for being willing to crucify your own only Son in the cross. In his memory, we do this. And now we thank God, we thank you, God, for that precious blood that you were willing to shed because of us, that blood that cleanses us from our sins and allows us to have a personal relationship with you. We drink the wine or the juice. We thank you so much, Father, for that enormous sacrifice. Allow us to value it every day of our lives. We love you so much. In the beautiful name of your Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, dear church, we have finished with this message. We are excited for whatever is coming. We hope to see you soon. However, we will continue obeying the authorities and taking things slowly. If Marco is in a better condition, he will pray for you. If not, don't worry. We will have a message. Have an excellent Sunday and a day full of blessings and of cleared doubts.